scriptures that we'd like to lay before you this evening. Verse 15, and one of them, that is one of the 10 lepers, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice, glorified God. Luke is the only one of the four evangelists to record the healing of the 10 lepers. And he informs us that the Lord Jesus was making his way to Jerusalem when he encountered the leper. Notice that he did not tarry in the cities of Samaria or Galilee, but rather he passed through the midst of them. Verse 11, Luke 17. If the Lord was going to Jerusalem, then he was going there to suffer, to bleed, and to die. There was therefore no time to lose. He must be in Jerusalem for the Passover. Yet as he was about to enter into a certain village, he met the 10 lepers. They were, of course, outside the village. We know that from verse 12, for it says, and as he entered into a certain village, the lepers, of course, were not permitted to enter the village. They were not permitted to live in the village, for they were not permitted into the village because of their disease. And yet I find that the Lord Jesus took time to put forth his healing power and to heal the 10 lepers. He did not tarry in the towns of Galilee and Samaria, yet he tarried a while, long enough to heal the 10 lepers. Here we see that the Lord Jesus always had time for those who were in need. When others had little or no time for lepers, rather would have avoided them, the Lord Jesus never passed them by. Read through the Gospel, and you will discover that every time a leper approached the Lord Jesus, he was pleased to heal that leper. Turn please to Matthew chapter 8. There in the 8th chapter of Matthew, we read in verse 1, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Then over in Mark's Gospel, this time, Mark chapter 1 and verse 42. Read in verse 40, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion. Not too many were moved with compassion when they saw a leper in the street. Rather, if they happened to see a leper coming down the same street that they were on, more often than not, they would turn around and make their way home via some other street. They would not even walk down the same road or street that the leper was on. Yet we discover that Jesus was moved with compassion, and he put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will be thou clean. Here again the Lord Jesus meets up with lepers. Leprosy was a disease which the Jews supposed was inflicted on them as punishment because of some particular sin. They therefore regarded leprosy as a mark of God's displeasure. This then perhaps is the reason why Christ, who came to take away sin and to turn away the wrath of God, took particular care to cleanse the lepers that fell in his way. The Lord Jesus took time to heal the 10 lepers that confronted him on his way to Jerusalem. But one leper is singled out from the rest in this narrative by Luke. He was the only one of the 10 to return and to give thanks to the Lord for what the Lord had done for him. And I want us this evening to look at this one leper who returned to give thanks to God. Because I believe this man sets a wonderful example, and is a wonderful example to us all, that we should not forget to give thanks to God for what he hath done for us. Yea, in the words of the hymn we've been singing tonight, rejoice and be glad. It is sunshine at last, the clouds have departed, the shadows are past, sound his praises. Tell the story of him who was slain, sound his praises, tell with gladness, he liveth again. That we ought to give thanks, praise and honor and glory and adoration to our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, all because of what he has done for us. We look at the words of verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Here we have the leper who was delivered. Of course, was delivered with the other 9 that came to the Lord Jesus. It is difficult for us to imagine what it must be like to be a leper. It is difficult for us to imagine what it must have been like in Bible times to have suffered from this awful, dreadful disease of leprosy. Leviticus chapter 13 gives us a very full and graphic description of that awful disease. And then we have these words. Leviticus 13 verse 46. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp, shall his habitation be. Imagine being described as unclean, being known in your neighborhood as someone who is unclean, someone who is defiled. Imagine being a leper and having no friends, or no communication with members of your family. Imagine being driven out of your town or your village or your neighborhood. Imagine having to live alone because of your disease. Think of the stigma attached to being a leper. Think of the stigma attached to this man because of his affliction, because of his appearance, because of his abode. So the day he met the Savior on that road to Jerusalem was a day never to be forgotten by this leprous man. Consider his company. Although the law demanded that the leper dwell outside the camp and dwell alone, we find that this leper had company in his misery. He kept company with others that were just like him. Others who had been driven out of the city. Others who had been diagnosed as having this awful disease of leprosy. They all must abide alone. There was one thing that united them. It was their disease. It was a common denominator here. We have these 10 men, probably different ages, from different backgrounds, different homes. Their different personalities. Their different characteristics. They had different attitudes. But there was one common denominator. One thing united them all, and that was their disease. Look again. Verse 16, regarding this one man. He fell down on his face at the Savior's feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. A Samaritan in the midst of 9 Jews. Oh, we know they were Jews because the Lord Jesus had told them to show themselves unto the priest. So there were 9 Jews and 1 Samaritan. But I thought the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. Oh, but what was it that made them equal? Oh, the Jews would have frowned upon the Samaritans, looked down upon the Samaritans. But we see here that there was one thing united them and put them all on the same level. Their disease of leprosy. They all had to live outside the camp. They all had to abide and dwell in some leper colony somewhere. They all had the same disease. They all had the same appearance. Limbs being eaten away with this awful disease. Does this not remind us of another terrible disease? The disease of sin. The disease of sin puts every man and woman on the same level. The Apostle Paul recognized that. Romans 3, verse 22 and verse 23, Paul said, "For there is no difference." No difference. Oh, tell that to those who think they're better than everyone else. Tell that to those who have been able to climb social ladder. Feel that there are few rungs above everyone else. The Lord, in His word through Paul, declares there is no difference. Why is there no difference? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why there's no difference. The Jew is a sinner. The Samaritan is a sinner. The king is a sinner. His subjects are sinners. Yes, sin puts the king on the same footing as his subject. Sin makes the rich man and the poor man equal in God's sight. Sin brings the upper, the middle, and the lower class and the down and out all together. They're all the same in God's sight. They're all sin. Yes, sin unites every son of Adam because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if it was this disease that united these 10 men, and it was Jesus Christ who was the answer to the needs of the 10 men, then Jesus Christ is the answer to the needs of men and women today that are sinners in the eyes and in the sight of God. Jesus Christ is the answer. He met the need of the 10 lepers. He can meet the need of any sinner. Comes to him and cries out for mercy. Because as the Lord Jesus purposely went that way through Galilee, then through Samaria, on that road towards Jerusalem, he purposely passed through this village in order that he might meet with the 10 lepers and heal them. So Jesus Christ came into this world, purposely came into this world, what to do? To seek and to save that which was lost. If every man's a sinner, then every man is lost. Every man needs Christ. Unfortunately, not every man sees. Dead, and he died of that awful disease of sin. So to a lost eternity, even though there is one who is mighty. We notice not only his company, but his cry. For we read in verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now you will notice here that when the 10 lepers came before the Lord, albeit they stood afar off, you will notice that it wasn't a case of one man crying out for them all. It wasn't a case of one of the lepers speaking for the rest. No, we are told they lifted up their voices. In other words, each one of the 10 lepers, personally, individually, called upon the name of the Lord. For you see, if they were to be cleansed from their disease, then each one of them must personally call on the name of the Lord. We can, of course, and do intercede on the behalf of others. We pray for the salvation of souls. We pray for the salvation of our friends, members of our families that are still outside of Christ. We pray and plead on their behalf, but our cries and our praying of themselves will not save those. Or the individual must cry personally. This is a common mistake that is made by children brought up in a Christian home. Because they think that because mother and father are saved, then they must be saved also. They're cradled in the gospel. Therefore, if mom and dad are saved, then they must be saved. That is not so. Salvation is a personal matter. It's a personal matter. It's a matter between the individual and God. And no one can be saved by proxy. Every soul that is saved must be saved personally. Just like the man here in our text. He, along with the others, cried out to the Lord to have mercy upon him. We're reminded, of course, of the words of Paul in Romans 10, verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. That emphasizes the personal nature of salvation. Death was thine. It's exactly what the leper did. Even though he was in the company of others, he cried, Jesus, Master, have mercy. So we have his company and his cry. Then we have his cleansing. And the example that we have already given of the Lord's dealings with lepers. One thing that's quite remarkable. Turn please to Matthew chapter 8 again. Matthew chapter 8. And we read in verse 2, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Here's the remarkable thing. And immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. It was done immediately. Our dear brother and God's servant, Dr. Bill Woods, has labored for the Lord many years in Brazil, working with lepers, ministering to them, seeking to help them, administering medication, caring for their needs. Putting ointments upon their wounds. It is able to give them better standards of life. One thing our brother is not able to do. He's not able to cleanse them completely of their lives. Those with twisted joints, fingers that have been eaten away with the disease, disfigured faces. He was able to help, but he wasn't able to make them new as they were before their leprosy, or as it was with Naaman, when he washed in Jordan, his skin came like the skin of Christ was able to. And he did it. Can you imagine the effect that had on the lepers? Whether it was this individual leper mentioned in Matthew 8, or the 10 lepers mentioned in our reading in Luke 17? Can you imagine what it was like for them to suddenly have their leprosy cleansed and to be made anew immediately? My, what a change. But then it is no greater than the change that Jesus Christ is able to work in the life of a sinner. who receives him, embraces him as Savior. The work is done immediately. Salvation is an immediate thing. Salvation is something that is done instantaneously. One moment the sinner is on the road to hell, the next moment when the Spirit of God regenerates that soul, that sinner is a saint on the road to heaven. And the work is done immediately. The transformation takes place. Notice how the Lord wrought his healing miracle on this man and his nine companions. We read there in verse 14, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Why did the Lord tell them to go and show themselves unto the priest? Leviticus chapter 14 and verse 2 tells us there about the law that was given to Moses regarding lepers. And if any man felt or believed he had the first signs of leprosy, he was to go to the priest, and the priest would tell him whether or not he had leprosy, or if he was cleansed of his leprosy once again, he would go to the priest, and the priest would tell him either you have been cleansed of your leprosy or you still have leprosy. Now here is the Lord Jesus, and these men, the ten men, didn't have to go to the priest to know that they were lepers. They knew it themselves. And so the Lord Jesus said to them, go and show yourselves unto the priest. The ten lepers then knew that if the Savior was sending them to the priest, then he was sending them there for the priest to tell them that they had been cured of their leprosy. And we are told, and it came to pass that as they went. In other words, they took the Lord at his word. They believed God. They put their faith in Jesus Christ. They believed what the Lord had said to them. And they had faith in God. Does this not remind us again of how you and I were saved? Does this not remind us how any sinner is saved? For by grace are you saved through faith. It was the grace of God that had healed the leper. Was their faith in Jesus Christ, having received the gift of faith, been able to believe the Lord and accept the Lord at His word. These men were healed. That's how sinners are saved, taking God at His word. Believing the word when it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if the Lord in his word tells the sinner, he calls and he shall be saved, then the sinner must take the Lord at his word. Put his faith in Jesus. What did Paul and Silas tell the Philippian jailer? And he said, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Believe in Christ. Put your faith in him. And thou shalt be saved. That's how these men were cleansed of their disease. by grace. Father, you and I are saved by grace. And then we notice not only that the leper was delivered, but the leper was delighted. I think any person would have been delighted at what the Lord had done for them and for this leper. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. There's his delight. Glorify God. Notice, with regard to his delight, his realization. We're told that, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, there's his realizing. And dear child of God, the hour that you and I experience the new birth, the hour that you and I receive Christ as our Savior, you and I not the first person to know that we were saved? Of course. Why we knew we were saved when the burden sin rolled away. We knew immediately God had saved us when the guilty conscience suddenly we were at peace. And bless the Lord, we were the first. Legion knew immediately that the devils had been cast out of him and he was a new creature in Jesus Christ. He knew it immediately. You immediately have been cleansed by the power. The man who lay at the gate, beautiful. Peter and John passed by. Ministered to him, and the man was healed. Why, he knew immediately. Acts 3, verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, the moment he was healed was the moment he knew. Didn't have to wait 2 or 3 days, find out. He really is. Dear child of God, we didn't have to wait 2 or 3 days to discover whether or not we were saved. God's Spirit witnesses with ours. Oh, dear hearer tonight, do you know? Are you aware that a work of grace has been done in your heart? Do you love now what you never loved before, the things of God? Do you hate now the things that you never hated before, the things of the world? You have that peace in your heart you never had before. You have that joy, that happiness, that hope, that song you never had before. So you see, good to know. Then Then we notice also his rejoicing. We're told that this one leper, with a loud voice, glorified God. The word glorified means to honor. Because of what the Lord had done for him and what the Lord had delivered him from, he honored the Lord. He glorified the Lord. He was rejoicing in the Lord. He gave all the glory to God. He didn't happen to take any of the glory for himself. He didn't happen to say, oh well, really, my leprosy wasn't all that bad. I wasn't all that bad. Not at all. For we read, he turned back and with a loud voice, knew that he had not right, he had no right to any glory for himself. He must give all the glory to God, because what had been done for him and done in him had been done for God. The Lord Jesus Christ has done it all. He did not contribute in any way to the change that had taken place in his life. Christ. He was rejoicing in what the Lord did. Dear brother in Christ that I know, now one of our ministers, and every time you met him, he always greeted you the same way. He always greeted you with the words, "Are you rejoicing?" Didn't matter where or when you met him. Didn't matter who he was speaking to. Said the same thing. Are you rejoicing? And my, maybe if we were honest, when that question was put to us, we'd have to say, well, no, brother, I'm not really rejoicing. But, oh, dear child of God, when we realize what Christ has done for us, surely we ought to be. Have we not lost the art of rejoicing? Have we not lost the art of giving thanks to God for his goodness? Paul told the Philippians, rejoice in Christ Jesus. And have no confidence in the flesh. And later on in that same epistle he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Oh, may the Lord help us to rejoice in Christ Jesus. May the Lord bring before our minds what the Lord has done for us. How he has delivered us and saved us and changed us and transformed us and given us a joy and a peace and a happiness we never had before. Let us think of all those things that we haven't. Then surely we will and be glad. Then you'll notice his response. When this leprous man and his companions met the Lord in the way, we are told there in verse 12 that they had to stand afar off. Stood afar off. Now look at verse 16. Regarding this leprous man that had been healed, in verse 16, he fell down on his face at his feet. He's not afar off now. Down at the feet of Jesus. According to the law, he would not have been permitted to do that. Before his cleansing. Dear believer, there was a day when we stood afar off. We were afar off from Christ. Then one day, and according to God's matchless and sovereign, we were brought to a saving knowledge of the Spirit. We who were afar off have been made nigh by the blood of His Son. And our place now ought to be at the feet and mercy. Why did this man fall down at the feet of Christ? Because he realized what had been done in his life. He realized what the Lord had done for him and the change and the transformation that had been wrought by Christ in him. And he fell down at the Savior's feet to honor him, to adore him, to give him thanks. You and I are familiar enough with the words of Scripture to know that all those who have great things done for them by the law find themselves at the feet of Jesus. You remember the woman of the Sabbath. She came into the house of Simon the Pharisee. We read in verse 37 of Luke chapter 7, and behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet. Behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them. We pointed out before the five things this woman did at the feet of Jesus. She stood at his feet, and she washed his feet, and she wiped his feet, and she kissed his feet, and she anointed his feet. All because of what grace had done in her life. She spent this time at the feet of the Lord. We are told in verse 47 of the same chapter, wherefore I say unto her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same love. This woman had been forgiven much. She knew the only place she could go. And legion, when the people of the city come out to see what had been done in his life, oh, they found him sitting and clothed and in his right mind. But where was he sitting? Luke 8, verse 35, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus. They're all legion. He knew what had been done in his life. A legion of devils had been cast out of him. He had peace that he never had before. He had joy he never had before. He had a home he hadn't visited in years. He who was forgiven much. There he was. This dear leprous man had a great work wrought in him. There's only one case. All believers, surely the Lord has done great things for us. And there's only one case for us. And that is the Savior. Finally, have here the leper who was different. The leper who was different. Verse 15 again, and one of them, that marks them out as being different. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He alone returned to give thanks to the Lord for what the Lord had done. Here I see, first of all, I see this man leaving his friends. There they are, all making their way to the priest to hear the verdict, to hear what the priest would say. But we find one of the ten leaves his company, leaves his nine friends, and he returns to the Lord Jesus to give him thanks. He left the company. He left the crowd. And made the Lord Jesus, his great high priest, center of his priest. Oh, is there not a lesson there for us? Let us leave the crowd. Let us not run with the crowd. But let us come. Give thanks to God for what He has done for us. Let us always return to give thanks to the Lord. Not only do we have His grace, we have His glory. The leprous man returned and fell at the Master's feet and with a loud voice. Oh, he didn't care who heard him. With a loud voice. He wanted it to be known what Jesus Christ had done. With a loud voice, he glorified God. And then, we have these words from the lips of the Master, where are thine? Were there not ten healed? Where are the nine? This teaches us a lot about this man. Only one in ten give thanks to God for it. And maybe that ratio stands today. Maybe today it's just the one in ten to return to give thanks. And when the Lord said, where are the nine? That indicates who the Lord Jesus was looking for there. Waiting to hear their words of life. And nine of them did not return to him. Just one. Believer, let us be the one. Let us be like this man. Not be forgetful, but to rejoice in Christ Jesus our Lord. Consider His promptness. I wasted no time in giving thanks to the Lord, for we're told that when He saw that He was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. There's His promptness. Let us never be slow to give thanks to God for it. Notice His priority. His priority was to give thanks to the Lord. Consider something. 10 men prayed, only one man gives praise. Oh, we're ready to pray when we're in trouble, but where is the praise after? 10 men pray, only one. The Lord wants us to do. He's given us 150 times. We might use to praise. He's given gifts unto men and women to write the great hymns in our hymnals, in order that we might pray. let us. Let us make it a priority. Let us be prompt. And let us indeed praise the God of our salvation. Then you'll notice his gain. See, this man received something the other did. He was rewarded for his grace. He received a word from the Lord, a word of assurance. I would rather receive a word from the great high priest than from any of the priests in the temple. This man received his word of assurance from the Lord himself. For verse 19, and he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith. What is he? We never lose out by giving thanks. He's the one who giveth. He giveth again. Out of the infinite riches and gifts, He giveth. Given us our healing, our salvation. When we give him our praise, he will give us again. He will bless us. May we be like the leper. Not like the nine, but one man. Let's bow our heads. Our dear Lord and our gracious Father, bless thee for what thou didst do in the life of that man and his nine companions. We bless thee, Lord, for what thou hast done for us and our friends. All gathered here tonight. Lord, we thank thee. Oh, gracious Lord, we pray that will not be like the night. When it comes to praise, may we be like the one. Help us, Lord, to be prompt with our prayer. Gracious Lord, help us to be wise. Oh, Lord, we thank thee tonight for saving our souls. Thank thee for making us whole. Thank thee for giving to us thy great salvation. So rich, so Lord, may we go home tonight rejoicing in Christ. Rejoicing in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh Lord, there's much in this world to depress us and get us down. Much that would grieve us. Move us to peace. We thank thee that when we look to Christ, have in the Lord our Son, our righteousness, our all. Help us then, Lord, to rejoice. Be with us, our Father, as we leave the house of God tonight. We leave this meeting rejoicing. Give us all traveling mercy. Turn us again to the Lord's house to pray, to give thee thanks for all thy goodness, even the wedding feast, thine is willing. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide in the name of us now and forever.